Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
Another edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Al-Hassan. Over there is Black Trey. We got John Gervais, aka Jerv, here. We got Big Waz, and on the production, Rob Lopez. A lot of entertainment to get into this week. It's a very entertainment heavy episode. As you guys all know, Power is back. We're going to talk about that. There's a new show on HBO called the Mighty Gemstones. It's the Mighty Gemstones, or what? It's Gemstones. Anyway.
The Righteous.
The righteous gemstones.
Righteous. The
new Danny McBride show. That's the show that we're going to try and review for you guys every week. And we got some other kind of crazy stories from the entertainment world that we'll get into. But first and foremost, the legend, the GOAT himself is back with a new stand-up, Dave Chappelle, Sticks and Stones. This was, if you guys remember, when he did his one-man show on Broadway, this was the stand-up that he did for them. But the actual stand-up that we saw on Netflix wasn't taped in Broadway. It was taped in Atlanta, I want to say. And he, you know, in a time where most comedians have become very guarded about the types of jokes they make, and if they make certain jokes, they usually walk it back. Dave Chappelle did the very rare thing of doubling down on a lot of the stuff he said in his prior Netflix stand-ups, mostly when talking about things like the Me Too movement and transsexuals and things of that nature. But, you know, and spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, I would say legit, our podcast is great, but you need to pause it and go watch this stand-up. It is way better than anything that we can do here. But I just loved how he opened the show, guys. He talked about Anthony Bourdain having the best fucking job in the world. He gets to travel places and eat food and drink, and that's it. That's your whole life. And so he kills himself by hanging himself in his luxury hotel suite in Paris. And then he tells a story about this dude he went to high school with who, against all odds, got a full ride scholarship to an Ivy League school and graduated top of his class and went to a really prestigious law school. And while he was in law school, he met this girl. He gets married to this girl. Then he gets divorced before he even graduates law school. She takes half of whatever little he has. Long story short, Dave says he sees him when he's 45 working at a Foot Locker. He's a manager. He lives with his mom, and he's been trying to bring his life back together. And he says at no point that nigga ever consider killing themselves. So right. What the fuck is going on with Anthony Bourdain? And you know, the from there, he just kind of goes on a lot of different things without kind of just going through the whole stand up. I just want to go around the room and ask you guys, what was your favorite moment or favorite bit that he did? Trey, let's start with you.
My favorite bit. I mean, I enjoyed it entirely. I don't. I think the Juicy Smollett.
Juicy Smollett.
Yeah, Juicy Smollett was kind of intense, man. Like, it was hilarious because obviously, you know, him just kind of like, again, like you said, doubling down and just like really kind of sticking it to whoever, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, I like my comedy uncomfortable. I mean, I've attended a couple, you know, comedy shows with you and me where we're like, God damn, they really said that? But it's great because it makes us laugh. I grew up that way. So again, I don't expect comedians to be, what's the point of watching a comedic show if it's not uncomfortable or it's not jokes that are offensive? That's their job, to make you uncomfortable and make you laugh, like to bring out the hidden laugh, the things you're afraid to laugh at. You know what I mean? And shit, man, like, it was so much out of pocket shit he said, but it was great because it's like, I bet you it's a million motherfuckers that think like that. And he finally said it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could touch more. I don't think it's one particular thing that I honestly could bank on. And I laughed majority. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time at a comedy stand-up. Like, Mike Epps shit was pretty decent, but it wasn't, like, nothing's touching this shit. Because a lot of comedians, like, even the whole Louis C.K. thing that he talked about. He's like, this nigga's jacking off, like, cool, but it's like cake batter on his stomach or some shit. And I'm like,
butter, melted butter on a pancake.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, what? Like, it's in the Me Too movement and you're getting that off? Like, but I get it. Like, bro, like, I do understand, like, certain things, but it's like, lighten up. Like, we're too uptight and too serious about humanity, and sooner or later, everyone's gonna be canceled. So, like, I totally fucking get it. Like, that shit took the elephant out of the room, and it was perfect, dude.
It was.
I think my favorite, it's not the favorite, it's the one that stuck out the most to me, because I think it speaks to Dave's genius, and it was the Macaulay Culkin thing, where he's using the pedophilia angle of Michael Jackson to make a comment on celebrity and fame. Right. Like, he's using the shiny and the quote unquote dangerous object to make a larger point about something. I think that's the whole point of the show. It felt like, because I saw a couple of things from some people whose opinions I respect, like people who pay attention to culture and, you know, think about it in a more deep manner than the average person. And they were like, well, it felt like Dave's just being edgy to be edgy. And I kind of disagree. I think Dave is being edgy because he just cares about comedy. Yeah. And the idea that, you know, there's certain shit that we're just straight up never going to talk again is something that he just personally can't accept. And, I think there was moments where he doesn't get all the way there, right? Like when it comes to some of the LGBTQ stuff or the trans stuff. Like I think he's still working that out, but I respect his right to do so because I respect his talent, right? Like I think Dave Chappelle deserves the right to not get it right the first time or the second time, because he is that good. And so I don't know. I just loved his daring and because it reminded me of, and I say this all the time, it reminded me of listening to the Yeezus album for the first time, where I was like, I don't like this, but I love that Kanye wants to try.
Yeah.
He wants to try to do something daring. He wants to try to make some crazy shit. And it, even if he fails at it, which I don't think Chappelle failed, I think there's aspects, again, that didn't work. But I love that he's trying this shit. Well, it seems like nobody else will.
I think it's funny because there's some things that I think Chappelle does because, you know, and I was talking to Dan Levitard about this today. I was like, some things is, that's the joke, man. He's a comedian. Not everything he says on stage is everything he believes in his core or whatever. And so I'll give you a great example. When he says, I told everybody last time, if y'all don't watch out the way you communicate the message, it's going to get worse. And sure enough, 8 states or whatever have passed the most stringent anti-abortion legislation in history since Roe v. Wade or whatever. And so, you know, people were cheering that the fact that he's bringing that up as a bad thing. And he said, now, hold on now. I am not for abortions. I'm not against abortion either. I guess it all just depends on if I got somebody pregnant. Like,
yeah.
Like, who to me, like.
Pregnant. He said it depends on who I got
who
pregnant.
Who I got pregnant. to me, like, that's the joke. All that is, I don't know how he feels about abortion. I just know he just delivered a great abortion joke about the idea that, like, everyone who doesn't like abortion doesn't like it until they need to get an abortion. And so you knock up someone who's not your wife and they're like, we gotta get rid of this thing. So there's stuff like that. And then there's stuff where like, damn, maybe this nigga really does believe it. And so the Michael Jackson thing, because this ain't the first time he's done, you know, if you remember the Chappelle show, when he's imagining if he was going to be on a jury selection for that trial. And they say, do you think Michael Jackson did it? And he said, no, because he made Thriller. That was his legit like answer. So I don't know how many of you guys watched the post kind of epilogue 22-minute thing that comes after. Yeah, so he told a really funny story. Someone asked, can you tell us a great Charlie Murphy story?
Tell a story about Charlie Murphy?
Or your favorite?
Boy, there's so many good Charlie Murphys. You know, the thing with Charlie Murphy is he used to just make us laugh all the time. And I used to ask him about all the old Hollywood shit I was curious about. Like when they used to accuse Michael Jackson, I remember I asked him once, I go, Charlie, do you think Michael Jackson actually did those things? And he said, let me ask you a question, Dave. He said, say it is illegal to fuck women. How long are you staying out of jail? So God bless Charlie Murphy, wherever you are, Charlie, I love you.
Which is like, like that's a great way to put it. Like if Michael Jackson is doing, I just remember the Macaulay Culkin joke, but
yeah.
He said, I'm not a pedophile, but that motherfucker's crazy, man. Jerv, what's your favorite part?
Or the part that stuck out? I don't usually agree with Wise too often. But I'm going to have to rock with Wise on this one. I fooled with the Macaulay Culkin segment. First of all, how he just brought up the Michael Jackson thing. Because I'm thinking it's just going to be all about Mike. He's going to do his thing, you know. And then he spins into the Macaulay segment. And then, you know, how he breaks down how, you know, I'm not saying I would do this. But, I mean, it's Macaulay Culkin, right? Like, you know, you would brag about it being him and all that shit. It's like, so like for me, also it's like the uncomfortableness.
Jervin, also conversely, he's saying, I mean, it's Michael Jackson. Sucks your dick, right?
Like, yeah, like you get to say the first time it happened, it was Michael Jackson. Like, who the fuck was to say that?
That first day of school, he go back.
How was your summer?
Dick sucked by the king of pop.
He said, it's sky's the limit from there.
And you know what I mean? What I also thought was dope, because even the more fan servicey, or not even fan servicey, the crowd pleasing stuff, the stuff that's easier, I still found to be very appealing. And mostly it's because I want to pat us on the back, because it's a theme that we've hit on this particular podcast a trillion times. And he made the parallel between crack and heroin addiction.
The opioid crisis, and
I don't give a fuck.
But you know what's funny, Waz? What I love about Dave is like, us and him can have the same idea and the same sentiment or something, but he's got a way of fucking saying it that's so brilliant. In that he said, I now know how white people felt like in the 80s during the crack epidemic, because now the opioid crisis is happening. I don't care. It's like, I don't give a fuck about these white people. who are all fucking addicted to the smack or whatever. The one that stuck out to me, and it's probably because I got kids that are in school, is talking about his kids saying that they had a school shooting drill. And so he's like, man, that's the dumbest fucking idea ever. He said, first of all, I told my son, they gonna get you, man. You got a famous dad, and I talk a lot of shit. They gonna be gunning for you. And then he said, aren't we also trading the shooter? Where are we supposed to meet? Okay, kids like taking notes and stuff. Like, it's true. Like, one of these kids is going to be the shooter. Like, having a designated points and all that. All you're doing is letting the shooter know, hey, this is what's about to happen. But then the funniest thing he says is, when the parents come to pick up their kids and stuff, they look at each other because, you know, one of us is raising the shooter. And he says, you know, if you're white, chances are a lot higher that it's going to be you than me. And then he says, I hated school too, but it never occurred to me to kill everyone at school. Like, which is kind of crazy, right? Like, these kids are going to school and shooting up everybody. Like, how is that the solution to their problems? I want to shoot everybody?
I mean, and again, it's kind of crazy, but it's also like, you know, the subtext is that the reason why it's happening the way it's happening is because it's white kids doing it, right? Like, we'd have a completely different reaction and conceptualization of what all this shit meant if it weren't white kids, right? Like, that's kind of the subtext in the background. It's just like,
is it damn crazy? Have you ever tried skipping school? Like, what you try doing some
more drugs?
Oh man, like, but hey, you know, man, this dude. This dude is he's something else, man. It's an hour, and I don't think there was a point where I was bored or just chuckling. I was laughing the whole time. But I do have one criticism. And so before I say my criticism, do any of y'all have any criticisms of the stand-up?
Mine is easy. It's the why can't I say the F word, but I say the N word, even though I'm not an N word.
Yeah.
It's that just doesn't compute, because you're not part of the aggrieved parties, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you say the N word, you are part of that group that gets aggrieved when that word is used in that way. And when you say the F word, you're not part of that group. So it just didn't land for me. And that just showed me again, like, he's still wrestling with how to approach this topic. I thought he got much better at the trans stuff. And, you know, the whole I got gay friends thing, it just rings hollow for me. But again, like, when you put that shit, and maybe this is my own bias and privilege because I'm not gay, in the context of the totality of shit, I mean, this shit was excellent. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, like,
I'm just trying to think of an example of a comedian who made jokes at the expense of, let's say, for me, Muslim people, or for us, black people, or for Haitians, or whatever. And, like, it made it to the point where I was like, this ain't funny. I mean, that's like a Pete. I don't know if you guys saw this. Pete Davidson, I guess, had a show at Central Florida, and people were filming it on their phones. And he's like, "Yo, we told y'all no filming." And then he goes on to chastise them and said, "This is why, you know, people, grown ups, all think we're fucking retards." His word, not mine, and stuff like that. And so again, that's not like it's not quite comedy. Like, this is Chappelle wrote jokes on this, right? And I guess my thing is, you can not agree with what the joke is saying and still recognize this shit is pretty funny, right? In the same way that, you know, I went to a Russell Peters show and that motherfucker was making fun of me and my cousin for being from Sudan and stuff. And it's like, we get it, man. It's like, yes, we're the butt of the joke, but it's a joke, man. It's a good joke. It's a well-written joke. It's a well-timed joke. It's not like just furious screaming of someone at, you know, at someone in the crowd or whatever. But I don't know. Trey, did you have anything that you would criticize, I guess, out of this stand-up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to agree with Waz on that and say about the, you know, the whole thing about the F-word, N-word thing. I laughed, and I shouldn't have laughed. I mean, Lord forgive me for laughing at things I shouldn't. But, yeah, he could do better. That was the only takeaway from it. But overall, like, you know, because, again, he's not a part of that. That's like us speaking on, you know, the LGBT community, and we don't have one on the panel. Like, you know what I mean? Have someone representing from the panel.
But can he not be wrong and be funny still?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but...
But you're just as guilty again, for if you're, like, laughing too hard.
But I mean, that, you know? That's just a commentary on me and my own flaws, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, when I laugh and it's wrong, that doesn't make it any more right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, but my...
Like, because I recognize that I laugh at shit that I shouldn't have, that I should laugh at.
I guess my thing is that it doesn't have to be right. It's, if it's comedy, right? If it's genuinely comedy and not Michael Richards calling someone a nigger.
But does it have to be hurtful?
I mean, sometimes it is hurtful. That's comedy, you know?
But isn't that how we grew? I mean, I'm not going to say we speak for everybody, but I think I can speak for everybody on this show, right? Like, isn't that how we grew up? We grew up where you made jokes. Jokes were funny. We understood that everything was a joke, and you were told to don't take things personal. You were told if someone makes a joke on you, you come back at them, right? Like, you don't get salty about something. And I understand there are lines that you can cross at times, but at the end of the day, you're going, like he said, I forget what the joke was about, but he said, "Yo, you clicked on my face.
Right?
You clicked on his Netflix face. You knew what, like, you're getting. Yeah, you knew what you're getting. Watching, if you click on Dave Chappelle.
If you're watching this on Netflix right now, he said, don't get mad at me. Like, you know what you're getting into.
I don't want to be the ultra woke motherfucker on the panel, right? But I think what those people would say, and they would say it exactly like this, is that it's not Dave Chappelle's right as a rich cisgendered male to hurt the feelings of gay people just so he can get the joke off.
Funny.
That's what some people would say.
Everything's funny, so it's about you, though.
If Dave Chappelle was gay, I think people would be cool with it. But he's not.
But everything's funny, and I think that's, he's talking about you, literally.
Right. I don't think so, man. Because, like Amit just mentioned, right? Like, I remember watching Top 5. And Chris Rock had the OD funniest Haitian jokes, right? And Chris Rock is not Haitian, but it was fucking hilarious. And to the point where every single review that I read, like, made mention of the joke and how brilliant it was. And I'm like, fuck, he got me.
But why? Right? But
there's a way to do that.
But isn't there also a point where, A, there's not really a whole lot of voices for the Haitian community out in... not only in public in terms of celebrities, but also in terms of the people consuming and writing for cultural websites or whatever. There's not a lot of Haitians doing that, right?
I mean, what I would say is there's a and I could use Haitians as an example. There's a difference between the Chris Rock joke about spaghetti and hot dogs, which that just sounds like poverty, and it's hilarious. There's a difference between that and what people perceive my man Cypher Sounds is saying about Haitians and AIDS on the radio. And at that time, he was trying to get a joke off, and it just got perceived fucked up. But there's a difference. And people came at Cypher for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a difference. And again, these are two non-Haitians doing it. And in one sense, it's like, all right, go ahead. And the other sense is like, I don't know that you got the right to go there, buddy. And yeah. I think that's what Dave is wrestling with. But I think, again, we all agree he's a fucking genius. And I think he can figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask y'all this. Remember the episode, the lost episode or whatever it was, the lost episode of season 3?
Yeah.
Okay. The skit that ultimately was the skit that made him say, you know, I'm not doing this shit anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So when I watched it, I laughed. I'm not going to lie to you. I laughed. It was fucking funny. And then I sat back again. I was like, okay, I could see this is uncomfortable. I could see why he got. Yeah, but yeah. It was fucking funny to me.
Well, I think like his thing was, it's not that it wasn't funny. It's that he was seeing people laugh at it. And this part I do agree with. People laugh at it, but they weren't laughing at it with the level of nuance and understanding. They were laughing at just on a very generic, like, I'm making fun of black people, right? In the same way here, I see the point you guys are making is, I think he's making a very nuanced, funny joke, but does it matter if there's a whole bunch of bros out there like, I'm gay dudes, and like, or just taking it as a regular gay joke, right? When in reality, it is so much more layered and textured and deep than your standard just like, look at this gay dude, this gay boy over here, whatever, right? And I think that a lot of people confuse those two things together, but at the end of the day, does it matter whether it's their fault they're confusing it if it ends up being confused? I'll be honest with you. The criticism I had was it was a little bit too much whining about how hard it is to be a celebrity in 2019.
Yeah,
I was just like, it was first world problems, right? Which is weird because Dave's always been kind of like, and he still had parts of it in this one. We're talking about like his dad said, "You are not poor." Like poor is a mentality, and da da da. You're just broke, right? Like that used to be most of his stuff, and it seemed like a lot more of his material now is about how, again, woe is us, celebrities are out here getting hunted, and da da da, and again because he's Dave Chappelle. He puts out, it's funny, it's great material, it's great content, but the underlying message of like, so just stop fucking complaining about how hard your life is, man. Like, it's not that bad. But, you know, I like it. And you know, I again, this is something that I struggle with because I'm still trying to find out who does good jokes that hurt people. Usually when we talk about a comedian or something that a bit that falls flat or is tone deaf or like something on Saturday Night Live, whatever, more than anything, it's not that I walk away like, I was so offended by that. I walk away like, she wasn't even funny. Like if it was funny but offensive, I'm like, I have this moral struggle. But 9 times out of 10, they're never funny at it. And so the thing for me with Chappelle, which is funny, after his last stand-up that came out, I was so surprised at how many people wrote all these think pieces about Dave is out of touch and shit like that. I'm like, no, he's not, because that shit was funny. It was funny because it was intelligent on a level that no crude joke maker could ever hit on.
I just think comedy's in its own... It's in its own lane, right? Like comedy's whole thing, a comedian's whole purpose is up there is to get up there and tell jokes. Outside of Michael, whatever, Kramer, whatever dude, outside of that type of shit where you're literally attacking somebody, anything up there, this is a person telling a joke. Right. You should not, I don't mean to offend anybody, anything like that, but like you should not go to a comedy show if you are the type of person that if the joke comes on something that is sensitive to you, that you're going to get, you know, sensitive about, because it's just, this isn't for you. And you just have to accept that, hey, I can't do this type. I can't do this person's comedy because this is what it is. It's just like back in the day when, what's my man's name? George Carlin, right? Like George Carlin. I love George Carlin back in the day for one reason only. He cursed like a sailor. And I thought it was so cool as a kid to hear him curse. But there were people back then that didn't like his comedy because he cursed so much. So therefore, you wouldn't go to a George Carlin show if you were a person that could not stand hearing someone curse like a sailor. And I think people need to understand. I think people need to just be real with themselves and understand that, yo, you can't do everything. This isn't the type of world where everything is for every. I mean, well, everyone should be able to do whatever they want. But you should know
you have a choice.
You're getting your. Yeah, you have a choice.
You got a choice.
Yeah,
you got a choice to avoid content or material that we don't find. I'll give you a great example, by the way, what I was trying to think of. You guys know the comedian Jeff Dunham? He's like a ventriloquist. He'd be pulling out these different dummies, and one's a woman who's like an alcoholic, and one of them is like this skeleton with a turban and supposed to be like this suicide bomber terrorist who died. And this is like, when I watched it, I was like, I wasn't offended because, like, yo, there's a lot of like just stereotyping about Muslim people, whatever. I was offended because, like, it's not funny. Like, you're whack, homie. Like, this shit is just so corny. And so that was the thing that I was thinking about. But Jerb, what you're talking about, actually, in that epilogue piece that he puts out after this, he tells a story about telling one of the Me Too jokes in this comedy club in San Francisco, and a woman got up and she got upset and she said, "That's not funny." She starts crying and da da da, and she walks out and she says, as he's leaving, she says, like, "Ah, it's not my fault that I got raped." And Dave's like, "You're absolutely right. It is not your fault. Not your fault. But you know what else? It's not my fault either. Like, I didn't do that shit. Like, right. So." What you're saying, Jeff, I believe 100%. Like, when you go to a comedy club, or go watch Jim Gaffigan. Go fucking watch someone cornball who's going to do lame jokes about Hot Pockets, and that's your speed, right? One of my favorite comedians is my buddy Andrew Schultz. Schultz is fucking wild. Like, he says wild-ass shit, and he's white doing this stuff. So he is a straight white male going into, like, urban clubs and, like, just... like, you're saying the most outlandish shit, but, like, at the end of the day, I know it's a comedy act. That's what he does. He's a comedian. He's making fun of things. He's not, like, running for president on this platform. And so I don't want to tell people, like, yo, you guys need to, buck up or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, we got to always keep that perspective of what are we doing here? Is this someone who's actually putting out an agenda or legislation, or are they just trying to make people laugh, man?
Problem is that a lot of this stuff is so subjective. As much as people like to say, like, comedy is.
But hold on. It's like, yes, it is. Comedy is subjective. What might be right for you might not be right for you. But Dave Chappelle, like, is as objectively funny as I think you can get.
I mean, the thing about Dave Chappelle that's subjective to me, at least, I know he's trying to get you to think. So whether you think it's funny or whatever, it's generally not stupid.
Right.
So, yes. I mean, so to me, that's the bar right there, right? Like, he's trying to get you to think about something beyond the surface level of, oh, that motherfucker's canceled. Like,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
okay. Because that's not hard. It's not hard to do.
I mean, I credit dude for having the stones to even talk about this type of shit in cancel culture, right? Like,
But he's
Dave Chappelle.
He's Dave Chappelle. He's in a place where literally, okay, so he did his shit with Netflix. He's not trying to host the Oscars or whatever, which is another funny bit where he says Kevin Hart's dream was to host the Oscars. Like, nigga, what nigga dreams about hosting?
Who dreams about that shit?
Right. So, like, he's obviously got a lot of money. And if, like, is Netflix is forced to drop him because of some backlash, they should probably just go back to going to he'll do comedy clubs. He's fine. He'll never be like what's happened to Louis C.K. will never happen to Dave, because Dave is you know what Dave is, and I'm not comparing them as talents because obviously Dave is amazing, but in a similar situation, he's Gilbert Arenas. Like, Gilbert Arenas got all his money, so when people get upset about what he Instagrams or what he tweets or what he says, I'm not here to tell you that I agree with this. I think a lot of the stuff he says is offensive and I don't agree with. But I do envy the freedom with which Gilbert does this shit, because he knows you have no leverage over me. I could do whatever the fuck I want. Like, nothing. I could throw Nick Young's kid's tricycle over a wall and laugh about it. and I can say, you know, like make terrible comments about WWE. Like, there's no repercussion that is going to censor Gilbert Arenas because he's reached a point where he does not need the system or anything. And the same thing I think is true with Dave Chappelle, obviously, except Dave Chappelle's amazing at his job and Gilbert Arenas is not quite so amazing at it. By the way, that comedy club that Chappelle was doing all that that stuff with the woman and all that, that was actually in San Francisco. You know what else happens in San Francisco? October 12th, the Count the Dings live show at the Independent. The last thing I heard was there's less than 40 tickets remaining. Is that true? No? Anyone know? Did anyone else hear that?
Yes, yeah. It can't confirm. It's much less than 40 at this point. So
okay, so maybe
by this taping, it might be sold out. But please get to it if you want to come.
Countthedings.com. Again, I'm there. Trey's there. Waz is there. We got all types of guests. We've had Bomani Jones in the past, and Taylor Rooks, and Pablo, and Jay Adonde. And look, whenever you come to the show, you're gonna get all the great like content that we put out in the live version, and it's usually a lot less censored, a lot looser, but also you get great guests and you get great conversations, and then obviously you get to meet up and hang out with other people who share your love for this wacky, weird podcast network that we put together for you guys. So make sure you go to countthedings.com, take it out if there are any tickets left. And also, you know, I know it's a lot of you guys don't live in the San Francisco area, so if you got to book your travel, we still got some time here where before flights get crazy. All right, so I want to transition to this this other story that came out this week. It's still developing, so we're not going to actually get into the details of it, of this allegation of Paul Mooney having an affair with Richard Pryor's son, and Richard Pryor allegedly putting out a hit on him, putting a bounty on his head. As a result, like I said, the story is still kind of very, we don't have a whole lot of facts, but there was a conversation in one of my group chats that we got into an argument about, well, not argument, but just kind of a discussion about. And the concept of this, regardless of whether Paul Mooney did it or not, or whether Richard Pryor's son was of age or not, is it okay to have a sexual relationship with the child? Not with the child of someone that you know, of a friend of yours. And when I say that child, I mean like they're 25, they're 30 years old, an adult consensual sexual relationship with someone who is, you know, someone's.
You call a friend.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, my thing was, look, just because I wouldn't do it doesn't mean, I think there's a difference between would you do it or not versus is that cool or not? And so I wanted to hear what you guys had to say.
I don't see how you couldn't express some reservations about, like, take yourself out of the equation, right? Like, if it's your child, that goes without saying.
Right.
Everybody's going to be emotional when it comes to their own offspring. I just think about it as, like, somebody I know, I'd have a hard time continuing to associate myself with them because it becomes a thing where you have to justify that relationship to everybody else in your life, right? Like, you invite this homie around. And let's not get it twisted. This is mostly men we're talking about here, yes, right? Because you can say what you want about women. They tend to be more moralistic when it comes to these sort of questions. More moralistic than men. I'm not saying that they're all puritanical and all of that shit. But, like, you know, more than men, I think women tend to take the high road here. I just feel like you couldn't justify being homies with them because you'd have to justify them to all your other friends. You'd have to constantly be dealing with the idea that, like, yo, do I really want to hang out with this person and their significant other who happens to be their close homie's kid? It's like, it's weird.
What if they're in love?
Man, that shit not cool.
I said they're in love. I don't give a fuck if they're in love or not. Fuck love. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Jerv, you're saying.
No scenario. That's just not cool. That's not cool at all. Because taking myself out of the picture, you know what I mean? That's not cool. This is, you're homies with somebody, male or female, you're homies with somebody. And now, whatever the age may be, consent, you know, legal age, now that you're trying to tell me that while we're hanging out, you've been plotting on. No, that shit's not cool at all.
Well, and not necessarily plotting, right?
That's not cool. It's not cool.
What if the kid's wilding, though?
There's not cool. You are the friend of the parent. You are supposed to be the one.
No, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just asking a question.
Just asking a question.
Dang, Jerv.
That shit not.
All I'm asking is if your kid's wilding, and say the homie has repeatedly smacked your kid, bro. Like literally, like watch out, bro. It's not cool. And your kid keeps trying it, fam. So what is going on here?
So I'm supposed to give you I understand what you're saying. So I'm supposed to give you credit because you said no 50 times, and at 51 you said fuck it. Well, fuck it. I said no 50 times. No, now.
First and foremost, niggas' kids is hella young. So this scenario would never ever play out ever. But I'm just saying, overall, for a nigga that's in that position, because you got to think about, like, we're in a weird situation. Think about this. We're of age enough to actually date a chick and actually fuck with a mom. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So, in a danger zone.
Right.
We're in the danger zone.
But fucking with a chick. Go ahead.
But I'm just saying, fast forward to your child being of age, right? Past 18, out the crib. Because niggas...
Hey, 25.
25, right? 25.
Yeah, she could be 55. It ain't cool.
Jerk. You also have to look at it like how niggas' sisters be walling. Niggas' sisters be walling all the all right. time, bro.
That's dope. That's perfect. All right. I don't know how I'm explaining this, but sisters or siblings are different. It is. Because you could have... All right, no, listen.
Don't
you
fuck my sister, dog.
And I understand it. And I understand why you would say that. But
like, niggas, listen, I posted my sister the other day. I wanted to get a...
I saw that and I was like, oh, Trey, that's a bold move.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
But I wanted to see who was actually going to say some shit. I just really wanted to test the water. Niggas ain't never seen my sister. And I was like, all right.
Dude, Trey, you're awful. Trey's like looking for someone to fight.
I get the whole sister asking, and I'm on the same page as you are. Nah, sisters, if you were female, I understand why you say your brother. You know what I mean? Or if you're a male and you say your brother's off limit because it's your homegirl, whatever. I get whatever you want to say on that. I understand. But I also get the side where someone could say, all right, look, my sister, let's just say it's your sister. My sister is blah, 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 blah age, right? This is my homie. He's a, you know what I mean? I'm not saying you want her to date the homie that you know to just be running through it, through everybody. But like, you got a homie that's a legit cool dude. You fuck with his ambition or whatever. And it's like, all right, that's different. But your kid, nah.
Hold
it's
on.
It's not so, good on any.
So Jerv, this is why. Because earlier you said because you've known the kid when the youngest, so you've been plotting on my kid for a while. Does the same still apply for a younger sister? If the sister, if you were around when the sister was just playing with Barbie and Ken and shit, and now she grown, and now you're like,
but okay, so you're saying, okay, let's just say you're 20 and you got a 7-year-old sister, and now she's 21 and you're home. That's different.
Yes.
Because that's still the whole, even though, because anyone knows, if you have I'm an only child, but I've had kids, you know, my homies, sisters and brothers or whatever the case may be, they're like my brother and sister, right?
Right.
So if I'm 20 and she's 7, you're 20. Yes, that is weird to me. And now I'm not cool with that because even though that's my brother or sister, as that older sibling of that age gap, it's damn near my kid to a degree because I treat them like that. You know what I mean?
But if you didn't know them, if you didn't know them as a child, like your introduction to them. So let's say like you're 20, your younger sister's 7, and then your homie, now it's 18 years later. This girl is now 25. Your homie is 37 or 38 or whatever. And he's like, damn. I'm like, oh, whatever. And now, and again, we're always saying respectfully because obviously no one wants, whatever the age is, no one wants the whore to come whore their sister out or whatever. But the point being, I said, if you're saying...
Hey, if your sister a pop, she a pop. You can't control that.
Derv, I'm asking. So if the homie did not know her as a child, you're like, that's fine. But if he did know her as a child, then it's off limits?
Well, honestly, just to be honest with you, it would depend on the homie. Real talk.
It's a good homie. He's like just genuinely attracted. He's not out here playing the field like crazy or whatever. It's like on some genuine shit.
It would be uncomfortable for me because as your homie, you have these conversations with him. You know what I mean? Y'all talk about certain things, whether it be, you know, y'all, whatever they wild parts of their life, or if it's just the normal day to day shit of it, right? You know what I mean? It you know, as your homie, you probably have those type of conversations, so it would be uncomfortable, but I can understand that as opposed to, you know, growing up with somebody or knowing somebody for a couple years and them seeing my sister grow up, you know what I mean, from age 15 or 16 to 21, you know what I mean? They still watch them become an adult. I mean, I like, it would be uncomfortable for me. Trey, you the nigga that just said if niggas would have been in the comments,
But I'm painting a picture of shit that you can't control, dog. Like,
I can control my kid, cuz. I got to.
How? Niggas kids be wildin', dog.
Because, but, bruh, so all right, so you trying to say I'm 55 or whatever the case may be, and my daughter is 20, whatever. My daughter's 20.
Listen,
whatever
I pray the case, it never happened.
I have to be 68. Yeah, no, I get you. This is all
I pray it never happened, but your daughter can say, fuck you, dad.
That's what's up. And literally, and my daughter can say that, and I understand that my daughter might say that, and that is just a younger, I think younger said person.
He's going to take the preventative measures to
nah,
to,
but it's on my homie.
But it's on everybody.
But it's on everybody, jerk.
I understand, but I'm saying as my homie, regardless, I can understand if a kid it gets attracted to one of their parents' friends. I can understand it. It doesn't make it right, but I can understand it. But as my homie, you have to turn that down 99 times out of 99 out of respect for me, because then that you don't respect me. You don't. You don't respect me. And
Jer, we get it. And not saying that niggas have ever plot on this shit.
No, I feel you.
But we're putting it in a realistic situation of how fucking children and young adults, wow, like they don't give a fuck, dog.
Absolutely. And as the older adult, like, now hold up. Now, if you're my homie and let's just say it wouldn't be my age gap for my daughter, but let's just say the age gap for my daughter and I would be 60 and 30. And let's just say I'm 60, my daughter's 30, and I got a homie that's 35 that I just met, right? He's not my homie. This is a nigga I met. We cool, you know what I mean? Whatever. I'm talking about a friend. Like, as a friend, you have to turn that down. If you have to not only turn it down 99 out of 99, you got to come holler at me and let me know.
But, Jer, I'm going to put in a realistic situation. Can we boss it over?
Wow. We haven't had a bossing over in a while. I'm excited for this.
It's not Let's that go. Because this is the thing. I don't want to put these people out here. Fast forward 10 years later, the homie about it as a nigga respecting you, right? Regardless if they respect you and your dog, like, you know what I mean? That's your dog and out of respect to you. Say something happens, right? Your daughter's out working, whatever. They go, he says, all right, I'm gonna buy your daughter a drink. And
why are you buying my daughter a drink?
Damn.
It's my birthday.
No, I mean, like, okay, it's her birthday. All right, okay, you bought her a drink. That's cool.
She's not calling him unk. She like, oh, he bought me I'm 21. Can you buy me a drink? Cool, he buys a drink. He might be uncomfortable, but your daughter's pressed up and was like, yo, you know, I always used to like you when you was around my dad. Oh, now the nigga's like, bruh.
Nah, I'm Trey. Cool.
No, he's still, no. Trey. Can you listen to the scenario?
I know, Jeff? I got you. You got it, go ahead.
So again, he's uncomfortable. The guy's uncomfortable. Your daughter's still pressing. They start drinking a little bit more because he's bought some drinks. And then, unfortunately, something happens. Like, not saying that it should have happened, but
one thing lead to another.
Dude, I understand.
And it's and fucked up, but I'm just painting a realistic picture of, like...
And I'll tell you where realistically where it shouldn't have went the other way. He can buy the drink. Daughter presses up on him. Nothing is in his control at this point. Everything's out of his control. Regardless of him buying the drink, I'm with you there. The second the daughter presses up on him as respect for me as my man, that is when he has to make the decision. Yo, you're wilding. He has to.
Some niggas don't choose that way.
And, hey, listen, and that's why niggas is.
You know, hey, Hey, some niggas don't tune that way. Now look, you could be 66 trying to put a bullet in a nigga, but yeah. I'm just telling you that niggas gonna choose pussy 100% of the time.
And in the case of
And we're black.
Right.
I think the moral of the story, folks, is that I remember when this Me Too thing first started happening, and our friend Ethan Strauss was like, yo, I think it's funny that like a majority of the cases that are happening in public are happening in Hollywood, but everybody in Hollywood gets up on TV and acts like it's a problem that everyone in America has. And like, the more this shit starts to percolate, the more I kind of agree with Ethan. And it's just like, these Hollywood cats are especially perverted and perverse and nasty. That's the gist of what I'm starting to get out of all of this stuff.
Man, you know how people act when they got money.
I can fuck look,
you can see, you see the nigga, you see the nigga on your block and just get a couple of dollars. How he act?
I mean, where did you get that quote from?
I do. I can fuck everyone. That's me as I slowly make more and more money. right now I'm at my hotel. I'm on the balcony. I'm just looking around. I'm like, I'm overlooking the pool. I'm like, yeah.
I really can't fuck anybody.
Like, this is getting easier and easier.
Funny as shit.
What do you actually want to put yourself through?
Oh man.
They say this is a big rich town. I just come from the poorest part. Bright light city life, I gotta make it, this is where it goes down. I just happen to come up hard. Legal or illegal, baby, I gotta make it.
I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises. I live, I learn.
All right, guys. So I think we got to get to this. This was the most painful part of my week. What's up?
The pain and agony in your voice is giving me life.
That nigga said painful, though. And I just peeped. I already know what he's about to segue to, but I peeped today. I'm new. I know you guys probably actually seen on the actual opening day. I just now seen it. So
no, I just watched it, too. And I tried watching. So we're talking about Power, obviously. The final season of Power, the season premiere started on Sunday. And they also have debuted a new show, which is the Power Confidential or something like that. It's, you know,
ain't nobody watching that shit.
I tried. Man, and it was
with Terrence J.
Oh my God. It was so bad because like the way they talk about Power, you would think they were talking about The Wire. Like they really were like, yo, they had the Lila Loren, who plays the character of Angela, who, spoiler alert, she finally does die, thank God. But they were talking about, like, her dying was, like, this big shocking moment. I'm like, it's three seasons too late. We've been waiting for this bitch to die for a while, right? But then the worst part was they revealed something that blew my mind, right? So these motherfuckers are doing a victory lap, patting themselves on the back about Angela dying in this episode. And did y'all know that Courtney Kemp, her original idea was she wanted Angela to survive and then go into witness protection and then resurface in the season finale? And I was just like, but they talked me out of it. I was like, how terrible are you at this?
Yeah, it's god awful, dude, bro. So I talked to Jerry earlier, right? Sorry, yeah. I cut you off, Jerv. And I'm like, while I'm watching it, I'm like texting him. You said what?
I like that name drop.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, shit. It could be Black Jerry. I mean, at this point, so
Black Donovan.
So I'm complaining mid while I'm watching this shit. I'm like, bro, I hated the fight scene, and he's like, why? It was good. I'm like, bro, no, it was not.
That was the fight scene, right?
So I'm like, that's the thing. So much. All of a sudden, you drop the gun because Tyree comes in, like. No, if I want blood, I don't give a fuck how close we are. Me and Waz were fucking brothers for 22 years, and you kill my bitch, bro. I'm probably gonna gun you, bro. I ain't gonna just make it make sense, right? So I thought that was very trash. But
you know what else is trash about it, Trey? Mm-hmm. I haven't fought 8 billion times in my life, but I've been in my fair share of fights with people I know and people I don't know. in absolutely zero of them did I ever have a conversation mid-fight. These motherfuckers are talking to each other. I'm like, what's going on here? You killed Angelo, but you killed Teresi. Oh, he flew me. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Why are you talking? Like, who does that?
I've never seen a rumble end when just because a kid walks in. Like, I've never seen it.
If I was,
niggas just keep going and the kid cries.
If I was Tariq and I walked in and I saw
shot both of the niggas.
No, first of all, I saw them do. I saw them doing that, and then all of a sudden let go of each other and be all out of breath and kind of like hair messed up or whatever. I would think, what do you think is fucking? Like, that was their reaction. Their reaction was like if they were making out and someone walked in on them. Like, oh, no, everything's fine. No, we're not.
But how does the gun slid to Tariq like it was one of those wrestling matches where you throw in a chair. Like, that shit was so annoying. But I asked him, right? I was like, yo, I hate to see Angela go because she was a bad one. I just, like, really liked looking at her. She was very, you know.
I agree with you. She was my favorite person on the show.
She wasn't an amazing actor. I'm an actress. Woman. I mean, you know.
So but that's what I'm saying. It's y'all fault that this show is the way it is because
probably
they hear people like in the focus with like
a minute ago.
I like Angela. I'm like, well, we got to keep her.
But
on.
But it's not definitely
our fault. I mean, it's the fault of capitalism because. Honestly, because if Courtney Kemp was like, yo, with these if I'm going to keep these specific characters together on the show, the story can't last for this long for all of them.
That's my
right. But if we want to extend this out to as many seasons as possible and while also being fan servicey and keeping all of our favorites, all the people we've come accustomed to knowing and loving. On the show, then you know they got to take these crazy leaps, man. Like,
let me ask y'all. Okay, go ahead, Trey.
It's gonna be technically the last season, but it's gonna be split into two parts. So,
Here we go.
So it's gonna be because they took a break. You mean obviously, the member passed away and stuff like that. That was working on the stuff. So they shot it in two different things. It's gonna be a total of 15 episodes this season. I think it's the first
how many
seven?
Are there normally
10.
Like 10
usually 10
oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So what they're doing is they're gonna show us the first 7 or 8 and then they're gonna split off the second half after like next year 2020. So still gonna be considered season 6 though, not season 7.
So it's like Sopranos. This is what they did Sopranos. I think Breaking Bad did this.
Can I ask this question? Is there I've come to realize there's no such thing as at least a dramatic show that can go on for 7 or 8 seasons and still be good, right? We saw that with Game of Thrones, right? So what is the optimal length of a show? You think
five
seasons is the max, right?
5 is max if it's very good. But if it's like, you're pressing it by season 4 is like wrap it up.
I think Law and Order's on 21.
Law
and Order's different because it's not a continuous story for the most part.
I think something like Mad Men is different because it wasn't plot driven. It was like they use like real life events of the 60s to bring context to these characters. It was more of a character study. With this show, this character work going on, like some certain people have arcs, even if they fall back and forth and do whatever. But it's really about like the plot, like, oh, we're doing this drug deal now and we have a new connect and now we're going to start a club and now we're doing this and now there's a new club in town and now we have comp and now that club is Serbian. And, you know, like so much of what they're doing is plot. But if you're going to do that with the same characters, man, it's tough. Like, how much story are you going to have, you know, especially if it's like gangsterism and this killing in the show. If part of the narrative of the show is that people die all the time, then at a certain point, our favorite people have to die too.
Well, there was a scene where, when they're all arguing in the DA's office and Sax leaves. And Black Donovan says, yeah, it's different. It's personal for him because he lost Mike and Angela and what's my man, the other dude who was her ex-boyfriend who was stalking her and all that shit, whatever. And I was thinking to myself, if there ever was a DA's office where 3 people died in the span of like 5 years, like who were all working on the same case and all their deaths are related to the one case, like...
You're fired.
That would be like the biggest scandal in the history of law enforcement. And meanwhile, here it's just kind of like another Tuesday. It's funny somehow in a show where nobody dies, they manage to have too many like ridiculous deaths with no consequence to it. It's just nothing makes sense, and everything is so haphazard. Like the one city cop who apparently is always in the DA's office. Oh, I'm on the task force. Why are you on the task force? You're just a fucking runt cop, right? Like. Why is she on a task force? Like, she's the fucking, like, FBI or something.
And that one dude that was, that Tommy killed was a federal, his FBI agent, wasn't he? A former FBI agent?
Yeah.
Tommy always killing people.
So, I had two things. One, you mentioned that, what was it, that they said that they were going to make Angela survive. Like, that's what they wanted to do. So, part of me, when I originally saw her, I thought it was on some Jon Snow shit. Like, I really was waiting for her to pop up.
But Gerald, we
already had our Jon Snow moment with 50 coming out of the 50, fire.
Yeah, we did it first. Power did it first. Never forget. But also, Gerald, just remember, we find out from Courtney Kemp that she wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that was her idea. And she was like, oh, yeah, I want to do it, but they talked me out of it. Like,
but that would have been so powerful. Shout out to whoever talked her out of it, bro.
Yeah.
That would have been power. They would have been consistent.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Yes. Again, you clicked on the show. You know what's going to happen. Just like Chappelle. You clicked on the show. Come on the show if you don't want to see somebody pop up after being shot and the everyone thought you were dead. Damn. You know what you're getting into.
That's fair. That's a fair point. But I can't argue that.
I was mad at the reviews though before watching it though, because I'm scrolling through the timeline and they like people are like, ooh, fire emojis and shit, and I'm like expecting like, oh, niggas.
I mean, she dies in the first 5 seconds of the show. Like,
like niggas kind of knew. Like, it was kind of like a 30% chance. Like,
nah, bro, I had her pegged the 99.9% chance of coming back to life. Like, I had no idea she was really gonna die.
But do people? On the floor. How are people so bad at this, man? Like, what? Like, I don't feel like I'm just so sophisticated to that point. Like, I feel like I'm like you, Trey. I'm looking at people's reactions online. I'm like, yo, are you serious? You really serious? You're like enthralled in your suspension of disbelief.
Like, even the whole Tommy bad guy thing is like, to me.
Is he really a bad guy though?
He's trying to make a heel turn now, bro.
But he tried doing this.
Ghost, I think what you call him, technically the bad guy. Ghost is technically the bad guy. Like, they painted Ghost to be the one that's
bad. Everybody hates Ghost now. Everybody hates Ghost now at this point.
And it's everyone.
There's not a person on the show that Ghost hasn't betrayed. Like, not a single person on the show he hasn't snicked or backstabbed. Like, he's been a bastard.
Hey, you know what was even more bad though? The hug between Angie's sister and Ghost, where he was trying to stop her from crying. You know, I'm just like,
the look on his face. Listen, the look on his face, like, ooh.
Bro, I hate that nigga, bro. He was just reminiscing. That shit felt like an art. I want somebody to, whoever's listening to this, and that's very skillful with it, maybe even Rob could do this. Get those scenes of that nigga sitting in the car where he's reminiscing and just throw R&B music over that shit. That's still like he got dumped, bro. Like, it was crazy.
He was going to kill Tommy in broad daylight. Did anybody peep that?
Yeah.
The nigga pulled the hammer out in broad daylight
on a crowded street.
On a crowded street.
On Second Avenue.
This was like New York. This is what it is.
How many times in the seasons he's mobbed on some suspicious shit? He be in like some Under Armour tights, hoodie.
But I respect that when he had the whole, he went to that whatever that safe place he had, he changed into his shit, and then he came out in the all black with the shit, and then he went back there and burnt there.
That's when they gave him shit.
Now he's just pulling the gun out in broad daylight, like on Broadway, whatever it is. He's about to kill Tommy.
Get away like nobody's gonna run. Like,
I mean,
but hold up, he sees Tyreek, so it's all good. He has to stop.
I want to get back to what you were saying about people suspending belief and all of that.
Right.
And I want to get off a hot take. It's a pretty controversial one. I just think black people have bad taste in movies and TV.
Wow.
I just do, bro.
Uncle Ruckus.
I just do, bro.
Y'all donkeys don't have no taste in the white man.
It just be TVs and movies. I just be like, damn, Soul Plane for real?
That's a good movie.
It's not a good movie. It is not
a good movie. Don't do that.
Damn. When Spike was talking about the lack of support that he got from black people for Miracle St. Anna, vis-a-vis all the support that Tyler Perry gets for what he does,
yeah.
He was just like, they don't go. They don't show up. They don't show up. But he was like, for the coonery and buffoonery. We gotta do better, B. We gotta do better. God. Yo, and because the whole chicken sandwich thing came up, right? And you know how it goes on the internet. Whenever black people breathe, there's always black people to come out and talk about some alleged black pathology where it's like, oh, if y'all would have saved all this money from chicken, you could have owned a Walmart by now. Like, you know how niggas do. I mean, you know how cats do it. You know, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm just like, yo, can't homies just have fun with a dope viral moment that every race and creed is having fun with? But with the TV and movies, man, when I be watching Power, I be like, nah, niggas got to do better, bro.
Yo, man. By the way, we fucked up because we didn't talk about the biggest controversy. For the first time, I saw the whole internet rise up and say, fuck you to Power about one thing. Now, it wasn't the thing that I thought it would be, but turns out everyone was really upset that they changed the theme song for the last season, that Trey Songz does a version of Big Rich Town.
I think 50 just wanted a new single, bro.
it's the same bars, right?
Different. He got some new shit on there.
Man, no disrespect to 50, yo, but I haven't really listened to what homie has said lyrically in a while, yo.
I think people were just more. I don't know. I think people were more upset that Joe is not on the track anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is just the regular internet bullshit that isn't really news, but people like to make it up. They said they're gonna go back. They're gonna change it.
Well, 50 said he might have to go back.
Yeah, I mean, the Joe hook is legitimately just great. There's no, you know,
that makes.
No
but listen, when you hear that shit, you get into a mode of like, yes, right. I'm about to lock
that's
in.
I got my food. Love song.
My food. I'm locked in. It's Power Sundays. It's
the
big.
You got your second
town.
Screen ready for the internet and all of that. Like, and the song comes on and it instantly puts you in a place where you need to be. When they heard Trey Songz, and God bless Trey Songz, but his version wasn't as good as Joe.
Yeah, but they're roasting. The funny thing is, they're roasting it. And then 50 is posting every single one of these roast videos and telling Trey Songz in the comment, I'm sorry, bro, you gotta go.
They said it's a big rich town. Yeah. I just come from the. What the fuck is. What? What? Is this fucking Trey Songz?
Oh my.
Why do shows always do this shit, man? Every time, every fucking show, they do this shit. The fuck is this? Nigga, is this even... Who is this? Is this even 50 Cent? Who is this nigga? And this nigga switched up the fucking lyrics. It took me 5 seasons to learn the fucking other shit. Now I'm gonna have 1 season to learn this shit. I'm never gonna learn this shit. What the fuck? Oh, it's over. Fuck this shit. Fuck this Power shit. Fuck Power. Because there's no way I'm gonna learn this fucking song in 1 season. Fuck, man. Fuck. What the fuck you doing, man, 50?
They smoke it. I mean, it's great. Like, it's great. It's, once again, 50's great at the marketing shit, but still, like,
if you remember, The Wire changed their shit every season. Maybe
yes, they did.
You know, 50 could have changed his joint every season, and people would be looking forward to it now,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm sure he could have got doper people each and every time.
Like, my nigga, trying to pull that shit at the last, like, my nigga, we sat here for 5. You can't just be doing that, bro. Like, niggas is like, come on, what? And when I seen it, I hadn't even heard it. I'd seen the 50 video first, like of him saying, yeah, Trey, nigga. Because he said, when the last time you motherfuckers done streamed Joe? All right. He said, Trey, get this shit out of a favor for me. Listen, Trey, I might have to take your ass off because they know.
These motherfuckers talking about Trey Song. Man, you ain't bought a motherfucking Joe CD in years. Now you talking about Trey Song. Trey did that shit as a favor for me, man. Shit, y'all keep this shit up. Fuck it, I'm gonna have to put that motherfucker back the way it was.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he keeping it real though. Like, I mean, shit, I'm going with the people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to ratings up. Because even if the shit is bad overall, at least motherfuckers gonna stay for the theme song because they enjoy that shit.
That shit is crazy to me. That like people be irate at the theme song, but watch that fight scene and be like, ooh, that was really good. What are we doing here?
Oh, my dog.
That's a good point.
Do we got any predictions?
I don't give a shit anymore, to be honest. Like, they've literally beaten like that, even the small curiosity from me. Like, right. I don't care. Because
the host died this year.
No, if they have a next season, they can't kill Lamar.
There's no next season.
You mean after the 15?
Yes.
He definitely gonna die.
He's gonna die in the last scene of the last episode.
Are we gonna try to Game of Thrones this shit where we're like we're hoping that this happens, or do they take him out early in episode 12 and then we have to deal with Tyreek?
They're definitely gonna kill him because they definitely pay attention to the chatter that happened around the last stuff with Game of Thrones. They're gonna kill people. Although I think just Game of Thrones fans in general are more sophisticated than Power fans.
Wow. What is that based on? Is there some sort of black audience?
Hey, one thing I noticed to me, Lala's new ass shots.
Oh man!
And then also, why she flicked the gun in the riverbank like that, bro?
First of all, why did she how suspicious one on one?
Listen, she dropped that shit in there. I mean, like that shit, like she was frying chicken, dog.
Yes. She got to like flicked it with two fingers out, and I think she was bouncing. Did y'all notice? Like when she went up to the river, she bouncing and she turned around and she bounced. I'm like, is that your way of like trying to be like slick or something?
This is the same chick that went.
She was better off skipping that shit like a rock.
She wouldn't let Tasha wash money in her fucking hair. Now she's throwing away a burner off of a cop kill, right?
Jerv. What did 50 say? What did Eddie Murphy say? When you make a woman go, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Your voice said it's a blizzard.
Jesus.
Do we want to do gemstones here? Do we want to do it for overflow? Do we want to save it for another day? What do you guys think? Because right now we're about an hour.
Nigga, we save it for more, nigga. We ain't never doing it.
Overflow.
All right, overflow. Okay. All
right, so, let's go
combo one and two because we didn't cover the beginning.
Okay. All right, I think that's going to do it for us here. A special thanks to Black Trey, to Big Waz, to Jerv, to Rob Lopez in the production. This has been Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. We are going to continue the conversation, though, over in the overflow section. We're going to talk about Rights and Gemstones and Django and Waz's take on Will Smith. You don't want to miss that one. Just go on over to patreon.com/countthedings, subscribe, and make sure you don't miss out on that. And again, don't forget, October 12th. Independent, San Francisco, Count the Things live show. We're all going to be there. We're going to have special guests. It's going to be a great time. Tickets are still available. I don't know, but I want you to go to countthedings.com. If there are, definitely snatch them up. All right.